Good morning, saints. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Amen? Amen. What is it with this weather? Did you ever think we'd have a spring in November, winter in July, summer in September? I think we had the second coldest July, the third coldest October. And now we're expecting temperatures in the high 50s. Isn't it great when God has a sense of humor? Amen. I see a lot of new faces here, and I believe this is the most fun time of the service, and that is when we greet everybody in the name of the Lord. We do know it's flu season. If you're uncomfortable, you can do that side hug or one of those ways. But let's take this time to greet everybody in the name of the Lord. Let's do it. I was told we're supposed to hug and not step on people, so I apologize if I've stepped on a few toes. I remember vividly as a kid asking God for various signs. Signs that He was real, signs that He was tangible, signs that He was there. I will play the typical Bible tag. You know what that is? That's when you say, God, please give me directions. And you go like this, and you go, ah. And with my luck, it would say, and Judas went out and hung himself. But, you know, it's a game that we play. It's a game that we play hoping that God would talk to us. Hoping that we would hear that audible voice and see a witness or have that sign. And then there's that time in our lives that it does happen. There are those times in which we sense His presence. There are those times that you know He's talking to us. And He gives us a direction. Unfortunately, sometimes the answer isn't what we want to hear. So like Gideon, that's a fleece. Like Gideon, we throw a fleece at it. And we say outrageous things like, God, if you're really talking, you would make this a multicolor fur coat for me, and you would have two Super Bowl tickets in his pockets. Right? Never happened, by the way. And you know, God in His perfect love does do miraculous things and does give us signs. Maybe not as miraculous as turning that into a fur coat with two Super Bowl tickets, but something that is pretty dynamic and something that really directs us. And we know that we know that we know that although the direction is very uncomfortable, that it is His direction in our lives, and that it would be good. We always get trapped in making that decision of whether we're going to have a small amount of faith to step out for God. Is that true? Am I missing something here? I'm glad I'm not the only one. And the good news is that we're not alone at this. We're not alone as it relates to acting on our faith and asking for a sign or witness to what God wants in our lives. It's not unusual. But there are times we ask and don't do anything about it. There are times we don't have that faith, even a little bit of faith, even a faith the size of a mustard seed, to take actions and knowing that God will be involved and will be in whatever we do. As a continuation of our sermon series called Heroes of Faith, we're going to discuss, of course, the Old Testament judge Gideon. A man that we all know about and we all heard about, but a man that even though he was a hero of faith, you really can't say that he had huge faith. So I call this sermon Fleecing God. And we'll talk about the details of that later. Fleecing God. Hero of faith, Gideon. Fleecing God. Our scripture reading comes from all over this Bible. So bear with me because we're going to be zooming through a lot of scriptures here. But let's first go to Hebrews 11, verse 32 to 33. That names the heroes of faith. And then we'll be in Judges. But before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor next to you and say, it's time to study God's life-giving word. Why don't you go ahead and do that? You can say with gusto, it is life-giving, you know.
Studying God's life-giving word.
Amen. Thank you, John. Okay, let's first go to Hebrews 11, verse 32 and a portion of 33. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. Now let's go back to Judges, and we'll be all through Judges here. Let's first read Judges 6, verse 11 through 17. 6 verses 11 through 17. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the land of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Now let's go to verses 33 through 40. Judges 6, 33 through 40. Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers through Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to the Lord, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry at me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with a fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." And that night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. And now chapter 7, 2 through 3 and 7 through 8. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you almost feeling like Gideon in many, many ways. And we ask, Lord, that you reveal yourself through the story of Gideon and through you using him as the deliverer of the nation. As we ask you, Lord, to help us to be deliverers of people and deliverers of communities. With that, dear Lord, I am humbled. I, too, throw down fleeces, and I too, feel very unworthy even to speak here today. That's why I'm asking in my prayer, Lord, to anoint this message. Anoint me as your vessel, as your messenger, and bring your message to us in a clear, concise way so that we can apply it to our lives each and every day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Okay. How many here believe in the promises of God? We all do. Isn't that great? But how many here have asked God for a sign even though we know his promises? Like Gideon, don't we ask for a sign, even though we're told over and over again that it's going to be okay, that God's going to be with us? Especially, like I said before, especially when we're uncomfortable about his answer. It's very, very difficult to let go and let God, especially for some of us men. Right, guys? We're too used to doing things our way, pulling up our boots by our bootstraps. And so it's very, very difficult to have faith and to be able to let go and let God in the toughest situations. It reminds me of the story of a hiker that was hiking along a cliff, and he had slipped on a rock and he had fallen. And he went down the cliff, but luckily there was a bush. He grabbed a branch of the bush and he hung on for dear life. And below him was the ravine that would give him sure death. And that's when he cried out, please, is there anybody up there that can help me? Please. And there was nothing. Later on, he said again, please help me. Is there anybody up there? And he hears a voice. Yes, I'm here. Well, who are you? I am God. Please, God, help me. Help me. I'm going to die here. What do I do? And God says, let go. And the man then said, is there anybody else up there? It's a joke we've heard over and over again, but isn't that us? Isn't that us? But isn't it great that we have a patient God that will wait as we prepare offerings for him, as was stated in chapter 6. In Gideon's case, he did fleece God a lot, but it was a sincere, honest plea. And he was laying out a situation wanting to be reminded of the power of God over and over again. It was not a true fleecing, as we hear the term today, of taking advantage or taking God for granted or wanting things his way. It was that time of fear and anguish. How many here have fear and anguish when they talk to God? And that's what was going on here. That's exactly what was going on. But the fact is, in Hebrews 11, Gideon was listed as what? A hero of faith. And as we read the story, we keep on saying, well, you know, how can he be that? Because he certainly didn't display that faith. By the way, he was a mighty man of valor. So, Julie, it's okay. But let's review what was going on in Judges so you can understand what may have been going through Gideon's mind. The Midianites had taken the land. They really surrounded and terrorized Israel. They would let Israel alone until harvest time. And then when harvest time came, the Midianites would come in and plunder and take everything that Israel had grown for themselves or raised for themselves. It was a time of just great frustration and great anger that they felt helpless, that the Midianites would come in and take everything they own after all their work and all their toil. And that's where we find Gideon. Where was Gideon at? He was in a wine press. Some of us look at that, well, maybe he was a coward. Not really. The wine press was probably the only safe place for him to thresh his grain, for him to hide that grain from the Midianites who were destined sooner or later to come and get it. Because no longer can they use a threshing floor, because where's the location of the threshing floor? It's out in the open. It's on a hilltop. It's on a hilltop intentionally because that's where you throw the grain up and the wind would blow, you know, the shaft away. So it makes sense that he was in the wine press, but not in cowering fear, but hiding his actions as he's trying to provide for himself and for his family. And it was there in his anguish, probably saying to himself, why am I in this wine press again? Why do I have to hide this? Why do I have such fear? It's here where the angel appeared to Gideon, and that's where we start our sermon for today. It took 20 minutes to get here, but we're here, folks. So we reviewed Rahab last week of a tremendous woman of faith, but today we're going to reveal a hero that had faith that wasn't as great as Rahab. Matter of fact, we could say that it's a lesson of how God could turn a little faith into a real big one. So what was the faith of Gideon? Well, it wasn't too great. He had to be told by an angel that he wasn't forsaken. Because here in his frustration in the wine press, he's crying out saying, "Where is this deliverer? Why am I here? Why does the enemy continue to take from Israel? Why is this happening to me?" And an interesting thing happened. And that is, number one, the angel said, "You're a mighty man of valor. That you can do it." Not only are you a mighty man of valor, we got something for you to do. And it says here, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Am I not sending you?" How come sometimes when people complain, we say, well, take care of it, handle it. This is the same situation here. We got to watch your complaining, because he was complaining. He said, "Where's God?" And God says, "Well, here I am. Well, we need help." He said, "Yes, and you're the help." Yeah, right. I say that, but that's what Gideon said. I'm sure in his heart, you know, he's saying, it's not going to happen. So here you have a hero of faith that was not operating at 100%, was he? No. His faith certainly seemed to be lacking. And all those promises of God, he never held on to. Number two, he felt unworthy to be used. But Lord Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So Gideon asked for a deliverer, and God says, okay, it's you. And immediately, like most of us, how can that be? I'm the least of the least. I'm in the least of the tribes. I'm the least of the sons. I'm not worthy for this. I can't do this. A young man hidden away in a wine press, frustrated over his plight. One that wants a deliverer but never could see that it could be him. It could be him. I love this because, I mean, you got to love God and his choices because God says to him, but I'm going to be with you. And we're going to do this together. Isn't that amazing? You're going to be deliverer, but I'm going to be with you and we're going to do this together. Whether you think you're worthy or not. This is a point then that Gideon said, okay, but I need to seek out your favor. Now, picture this. This angel appears from nowhere. This angel's talking to him. We've all read in the Old and New Testament, the angel is usually an angel of light. So, here's this presence here of God, and Gideon is saying, is this real or isn't this real? Maybe I need another sign. Maybe I need another sign. So he says, if I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. I got to laugh. How many of us do that? You got to laugh. You really got to laugh. The hero of faith asked for a sign that God found favor in him. So let's see if we get this right. An angel appeared to him. God spoke through him and said he would be in the battle with him. And then he asked for a sign. Okay. I think this is about your pastor. So he presented an offering for a sign. And you got to see how great our God is. Because as Gideon was preparing the offering, God waited patiently. Isn't that great? That's a lesson for us. God waiting patiently as we try to get the offering ready. And the offering back then, whether it's the meat or the food offering, when it's offered to God, if God accepts it, then you're in his favor. You're in his favor. And instantly when he presented the offering, the fire burned it up, which meant, okay, Gideon, here it was. You got the favor. You got the favor. He felt he needed deliverance. He didn't think he was the right choice. He didn't think he had favor of God and God. And God just patiently pushed him to each level. And then when the offering is taken up, Gideon responds in awe and says, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And then the Lord said, do not fear. You will not die. Is that a promise? Do not fear, you will not die. That sets a tone right there. That sets a tone of the future battle. Do not be afraid, you will not die. So he went down and he tore down the idols of Baal. He tore down the Asherah, which was a wooden monument to the goddess. He tore that all down. And this great man of faith did it, of course, not in the daytime, but in the nighttime. And all the people were angry at Gideon, and they wanted his head, so they went to his dad, Joash, and Joash says, well, if Baal has that problem with Gideon, let that God take care of him. I like that. If you have that problem, if he offended Baal, let Baal take care of it. So that's how he got the name Jerubbaal, which is, or Jerubbaal, which means let God contend. Let God contend. So he sought out affirmation. And then here's the next saga. And that was that all the Midianites and Amalekites gathered together and encamped nearby. And Judges 8 said that they were 135,000 strong. And Gideon said, okay, it's time to gather the troops. So he blew his trumpet, and they made the call. They sent out the messengers, and from the Israeli tribes, he came up with 32,000. Right? Not bad odds for God. Right? Five times? Not bad odds. Five times. And then once again, Gideon asked for a sign. So he has the troops, he has the enemy, and he asked for a sign. And one more time, like all of us, the fleece comes out and it goes out. And he said, okay, here's the story, God. I'm going to put the fleece out there. I'm going to put it on the threshing floor. And the threshing floor was where? On the high places, right? Put it out on the threshing floor. If in the morning the grass is dry and the dew is on the fleece, then I know it's you. So he threw it out, and sure enough, in the morning, the fleece was so wet that he had a bowl full of water once he wrung it out, and the ground was dry. How many of us try to outthink God's answers to us? Huh? We start to rationalize. That can't be. So you can just see what's going through Gideon's head. Well, let me see. It's daylight. It's on the threshing floor. The wind goes across the ground, right? So naturally, the ground would be dry and the fleece would be wet because the fleece holds water. Don't you laugh? You know we do the same thing. And then we say, okay, God, please, you understand me. Don't be angry with me. That's what it says here. Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. But can we try this again? Please. So he said, but this time, let's throw this out. And since we know that holds water, the next morning, the dew's going to be on the ground and the fleece is going to be dry. And sure enough, come morning, the ground was all wet and the fleece, which retains water, was dry. Aha! Okay, we can do this. We can do this. Even though God had promised a victory, promised him he would not die. And so the famous fleece story is into play. And then he recognized, like some of us, that God is certainly not about numbers. Is he? He's certainly not about numbers. So here was Gideon saying, you know, with God, 32,000 against 135. Those odds aren't bad because I got God on my side. It's, you know, Gideon's feeling kind of good. I got the sign. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I'm secure. I'm confident. I'm brave. Until God said, you know what? We got to cut down the numbers because if you do win the battle with 35,000, then it's going to look like the people defeated the Midianites, and I didn't defeat the Midianites. And I want people to know that it was God that defeated the Midianites and not Joshua. Gideon. Not Gideon. So he says, those soldiers that are fearful, go home. And 22,000 of the 32,000 went home. How do you think that made Gideon feel? Oh, great, just great, God. I mean, you have to really change the odds from, you know, from 5 to 1. Now it's 13.5 to 1. This is just like you. Don't make me want to ask for another sign. don't let me do that. And so I'm sure he's hyperventilating. He's just, okay, this is God's promise. I will not die. This is going to work. But God then said, still too many. And they're really not the right ones you want to take the battle. I want the ones that are careful. I want the ones that are before me. I want the ones that are there always looking for the enemy. I want the ones that are not lapping the water like dogs, but are lifting the water and always vigilant and listening to me. That's what I want. So now the number goes down to what? 300. Or by my calculations, 450 times the size of the enemy. And you know, it was rug cutting time. No more fleeces, no more signs. It was finally time for Gideon to step out in faith. The fleeces have run out. But Gideon had all he needed. He was visited by an angel of the Lord. He was given promises. He was appointed. He was said that God would go with him. And he was also said, you don't need those numbers because I'm going to win this battle. And so it was with 300 men, 300 trumpets, 300 bowls with lanterns in them that they surrounded the Midian camp. And they blew the trumpets and they broke the pitchers and the lights went on. And the Midianites, 135,000 strong, started to fight and kill one another. And then they started to flee. And that's when the other soldiers came. The other of the 32,000 came to rout out the Midianites. What a great story. You like it? I love it. It's a great story. Yeah. And matter of fact, sometimes it's our story, isn't it? That sometimes God wins battles for us with unsurmountable odds. And he does the battling. And he says, together we're going to do this. Sometimes I wonder whether it's more for us than for God. What I really like best about Gideon is that he's human just like us. He is sincere, honest, and scared to death. He not only needs a sign, he needs many signs. He needs a comfort level. He needs an understanding that God has a purpose in his life. We all can identify with Gideon. And we can see him as an example to all of us whose faith needs a little help. So how do we apply the story of Gideon to our lives? We will be frustrated. We will be angry. We will give up hope until we understand that in this warfare, God has selected some of us to become his deliverers. And yes, we will feel unworthy. And absolutely, we'll say we are not the choice. Try so-and-so. We used to say this in the truck stop ministry. We might not be God's first choice or God's best choice, but we're available. And that's what God wants for us. But I'm not good enough. I'm not ready. How many people have said that? I'm just not ready. I can't do this. See, wow, I think I just heard that from Gideon, didn't I? But if we wait till we're perfect to become God's deliverer, how many deliverers are we going to have out there? See that? By the way, that's not three. That's a big goose egg. We'll have none. We'll have absolutely none. There's nothing wrong with seeking out God's favor. especially when it's with sincerity and honesty and fear. I mean, he brings a certain reality that we can't win any battle without God. And we need to continually ask for God's favor, whether it's within this church or within the community or within our family, to continually ask for God's favor. I'm reminded about the father of the possessed boy that's in the Gospel of Mark, who cried out for healing for his son and saying, "I do believe, but help me in my unbelief." Yeah, that's us. That's us. And it's not wrong to seek out an affirmation of God's will. That's why I love the little scripture where it says, "And God waited for him." God loves us. He has patience with us. He knows our fears. And he knows we'll make some outlandish cries for signs. He knows that. And he certainly knows we're going to play that Bible point game. And sometimes it will work. Depending on your pain, depending on your needs, depending on how available you are to him. The good news is he wins the battle. The great news that he wants to use all of us and say, "We will do it together." Isn't that great? We will do this as one. And oh yeah, one more thing. Before Gideon went into battle, he snuck into the Midian camp. And he was overhearing some of the men speaking about a dream one had. A dream of a loaf of barley breaking down the tent of the Midianites. And he overheard one says this: "It was nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian in the camp into his hands." He didn't ask for that sign. Sometimes we won't ask for signs, but God will give us affirmation. And he's not going to leave us alone, because he needs to use all of us as deliverers. So with that, let's go to a cartoon. I love Reverend Fun. Here's Gideon. Says, "Oh God, Gideon here. Let's try this again. Today, if the fleece is dry, the rock is soaked, and the ground is merely damp, then that means that the Midianites and I cannot be friends." What a great cartoon. So to close this all out, let me state this. Can we ask for a sign? Absolutely. In humility, sincerity, honesty, and even our own fears. But even in weak faith, Gideon took action, became the deliverer of Israel, and now is named as a hero of faith. And we end with this. If we don't take action, if we don't go when called, we need to understand that without action to our faith, fleecing God only results in a lot of naked sheep. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We just praise your name. Many times I write these sermons, I know that they're for me. And as I tell the congregation, they're just eavesdropping. But Lord, this message is for all of us. We do believe, but help us in our unbelief. Forgive us when we fleece you too much and ask for too many signs. Help us to have even that small amount of faith like a mustard seed, so that through you, we can move mountains and change lives. Help us, Lord, to be deliverers, to be available to deliver the poor and the weak and the downtrodden. Help us to be the ones to change lives and deliver people from their sins and those things that take them away with a vital wonderful life with you. With that, Lord, I pray for this congregation that you, when we do see signs that you give us, that we have that small faith to step out. That this church may be a beacon to the village here in Calumet and to the surrounding areas. Please, Lord, help us in our unbelief. Have patience with us. Help us to step out with that little bit of faith that can change lives and change a nation. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.